You're listening to the Fantasy Sports Radio Network. Roto Experts in the Morning is on now.
It is Wednesday, December 14th, 2016. And this is the Roto Experts in the Morning. My name is Greg Sussman, joined as always by the King, Scott Engel, the Fantasy Executive, Corey Parson, Tony Cincotta as well. We go the next 3 hours up until 10 a.m. Eastern Time. Fantasy best friends forever come your way. And gentlemen, we are once again officially an award-nominated foursome.
Oh, thank you very much there, Greg.
Yes, congratulations to the crew. Great news yesterday.
Five-some, including
Anthem Sports and Entertainment, nominated for 10 industry awards by the Fantasy Sports Trade Association, including this show, which has won in the past for FSWA. On Target, FNTSY Radio was nominated for Rookie of the Year for Best Newcomer Company, and the FNTSY Radio app was also nominated for Best Mobile App.
Now, Scotty, I was wondering this when the awards came out yesterday. Mm-hmm. And before I do this, Tony, how are you, man? How are you this morning?
I'm doing well. You know, it's good to see the nominations again, and of course, this is something we've been accustomed to here, but now with the new platform, it's good to be recognized and people to take that in. And I think it's a great thing for the industry to have the ability now, because before, you know, SiriusXM, which we were located, they were the only shop in town.
Right.
And people had to go there and you had to pay for it. Now you have an opportunity to get something for free. And you also have competitive, and you guys can make the choice whether they're worth paying for it, you come here for free. And that's up to the listeners. So they have a choice now, and it's great.
Now, Scotty, I was wondering this, because I saw we got nominated for so many awards, and it's awesome, and we had TV shows nominated, of course, and radio programs nominated.
And even our print daily news print special.
Yep, we had the Fantasy Cup. Well, that's been nominated.
Fantasy Cup, which you were very instrumental in.
Yeah,
right?
I was very, very, very proud to see that nominated, to be honest with you. So that was really cool. So,
what about next week in Fantasy?
I believe it did not make the cut this
year. Oh, my
year.
God.
Now, wait a minute. Hold on. Yeah. These are the FSTA awards.
Propaganda.
The FSWA awards, you know, we haven't even gotten to the nomination deadline
now, yet. Now, what's more important?
I would say they're both very prestigious.
Okay,
I'm not being political here. I think as a company,
he's in one of their Hall of Fames.
Good answer, Tony.
Yeah, I'm the FSWA. Right. I think as a company, it'd be great for the FSTA as individuals, and as a company, I think it's great for FSWA.
Okay,
can I speak to this?
Tony, please. I don't know how it works.
Yeah, see, I don't like this process, and I don't like the way it's done.
Okay.
I think the FSTA, I don't know, I'm not familiar with it, but the FSWA, what happens here, I believe, and Scott, you can correct me if I'm wrong, you've been around forever, and you know, I'm not a guy that will ever nominate any of my own work, and I've said this to Scott and Tim McCullough before in the past, that, I don't know, like I feel like it's wrong to nominate your own work. I feel like, but if you don't do it, then you get left behind. Like guys like Pat Mayo, they have no problem doing it.
Sure.
And he shouldn't. He does a great job, and he should be proud of his work. I just feel like a lot of people get left out because they should be doing a better job as a committee going out and searching for the top shows.
Sure.
Yeah,
instead of having people nominating their own things.
Here's the thing about that, Tony. It's like, you're right. If you don't nominate yourself, nobody's going to nominate you. And you can't look at it that way because it's good for the company. And ultimately, if you're voted in, you're not winning the award yourself. Your peers are recognizing your work, and they're the ones that's giving you award. You're not giving the award to yourself. I had this with Tim McCullough a few years ago. He said, I said, why didn't you put in your nominations? He's like, I don't like doing that. He's like you. He's like, and Tim's very humble about it. He goes, I don't think I'll win. I said, I command you to do it. Okay, your work's that good. And I would say the same thing to you, Tony. If I had that authority, I would command you to do it. And then Tim ended up, you know, getting nominated for 2 awards and winning Baseball Writer of the Year, I believe it was. So if you don't enter, it's a different process. In the FSTA, we enter as a company. The FSWA, you're supposed to enter as an individual.
Corey, you do well in that then, since you're a me guy.
Put everything out there, Fantasy Executive.
So, all right, so there is no award
type of awards that are more prestigious. You said they're a little different.
They're prestigious in different ways
right,
to me.
Right, okay, and that's reasonable. Would you compare them to the Academy Awards and the Golden Globes? Is that how you would compare them here?
Yeah, I think the FSWA awards like right. get more widespread attention because okay. so many individual people are wondering if they won.
Right.
You know, whereas the FSTA, it's more like business-like and the companies are it's more of a group effort with the FSTA, and that's why it's great for us to be
team players. That's good.
Yeah, it's more like. It's more like, you know, we worked on all these things as a
yeah,
team.
Absolutely.
You know, we were big on teamwork here individually, and I'm not just giving lip service and saying this. It's like you worked on the FNTSY Cup.
I did.
We're nominated.
Yep.
I worked hard on the Daily News special. That's nominated. You look at guys like Nando and Cardano work very hard on certain things with video and radio, and then Pat Mayo, you know, things like that. I think it's a reflection of us as a company.
Okay. Now, Tony... Maybe you can answer this. So I saw we had all those nominations. I'm very excited about that.
Yeah.
Does everyone that submits something get nominated?
No.
Okay.
No,
it used to be that way.
Okay. That's what I'm asking. Yeah.
It used to be almost lazy. It just
right.
like,
right.
you know, nominations. I didn't take the nominations FSTA seriously in the past because if you entered, they threw you up on nominations and then they voted. And then,
yeah.
Now it's not like that. But if you look in the radio category, though, it's almost like it's ridiculous. Just like every show that's on the other platform is like nominated. It seems
it's very big stuff here.
And Scott, you can correct me if I'm wrong here again. And I hate to say this before these things come out because you should give them a fair chance. But I've actually talked to people on the FSTA, the board that actually decide some of these.
Oh, really?
Okay.
And it's not a great system because it's a very limited amount of people that are deciding on these awards. And to be frank, a lot of the people up for awards are companies that they represent. Mm. And I just wish there was something done, Scott, that would be better, that we could get more people involved in the outcome of some of these FSTA awards.
Well, I will say this. I'm going to be honest here. I have a lot of respect for everybody at the FSTA. A lot of people, those personal friends of mine, we've done business and partnerships. But to be 3S nominated for 10, I'm very excited because all the FSWA awards, we have never won an FSTA award. Never.
Right.
We've been nominated. We never have. And with 10, you know, in there, it's like, and us
this
doing,
is the year, Scott?
Yeah.
You're saying the odds are in our favor this time.
The odds are more in our favor, plus we're doing more unique and landmark things than we've ever done before. This studio here at 218 West 35th Street on the fifth floor of Rock and Riley's is a testament to what kind of fantasy sports history we are making with this company. And I think it's going to be reflected. The industry should be recognizing it.
Reflecties.
You know what? I'm going to take people back. I'm going to take people back. So when I first started in this business, I did things on my own, right? I had my own podcast. I was there. And it did pretty well. It was when podcasts were first came out, so there wasn't a lot of competition. My podcasts were right there, CBS, ESPN, and then all my podcasts were next on all on iTunes, right? Then I joined Lenny Melnick and Paul Greco and Fantasy Pros, and then I realized and I saw the landscape of the way things work. You couldn't survive in this business and be successful unless you were with a big company. So it came down to a couple companies of where I was going to end up going, and I looked at this Lou Mayone. And I said, there's only one guy that's in this business that's going to try crazy things, and it was him. And then you look at the studio, the television network, and the radio, and it was easy to say you made the right decision. Because whether we fail or we're successful, he was the only guy that was going to try half this stuff. And it made it a great opportunity to go and be part of the Roto Experts then and now the Fantasy Sports Network and all the endeavors that we got going on. That was the one thing. I thought it was the craziest thing in the world. I thought maybe he might be full of shit, but you never know. He was going to try. And he was the only guy in the fantasy sports industry, which I thought, Scott, at that time had been stagnant.
Yeah, at the time it has. And, you know, now we've come so far. You know, when Pat Mayo won an FSWA award last year, it's like, I told Pat, I remembered back to when FNTSY, it's interesting how FNTSY got to where it is now, because basically what it started was, I think it was in 2011, we acquired Roto Community, and Pat was part of the staff. Pat was the only one that survived. It's like 80% of the staff was done within a month because they couldn't handle like writing on deadline or... you know, having to do AP style. And then Pat started showing his acumen on video, and out in our small New Jersey office, he started doing videos, you know, with a small camera, and him and Cardano. And eventually, you know, it got recognized by Len Asper and the group, and, you know, well, now look at what we have today.
Right. The Pat Mill Hour.
Why do you make me sound like I'm Scandinavian?
Yeah.
It's an amazing thing. And the awards are nice and everything. And like I said, and some of them, I don't know. Scott's a little more confident that we'll get one out of the 10. I'm hoping we get one out of the 10, Scott.
See,
I don't want to be sitting there or forever us to be sitting there at like Tennessee and they're going, no, 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 no. It's a sinking feeling.
I know. I
got to tell you, though, Nando did a great job of showcasing the awards, doing the write-ups, sending all the right links. So I think he's positioned us very well.
Okay, so that's the deal with the FSTA awards. Corey, you've been kind of silent.
I'm off a little bit. I still got to get rolling. You know what I'm saying? My back.
What's wrong with your back?
I don't know. It's tight. I feel like I need a massage.
Right.
So that's one thing.
I don't think anybody here is going to provide it.
The lights in the studio, like that one light right there is like shining right on me. So it's kind of like bright, so I'm kind of like thrown off a little bit by that. So it's a lot of things going on, like outside. It's a lot of noise right now that's kind of distracting the fantasy executive. So I'll probably go get some water.
Get some water.
Maybe an orange juice.
Really?
Some coffee.
Oh, yeah.
Hey, they had a holiday party here last night.
Yeah, a big party last night.
What company was that? Because I got to get a part-time job with them because there's a lot of women work for them.
Yeah.
It was very impressive.
I actually looked at So when I left last night, because I was pretty late, I left last night, I looked it up, and now I forget, of course.
Wow, wonderful. So it must not have been a big-name company if you forgot.
It wasn't like a famous like Citibank or something
no,
like that.
No, it wasn't like American Express.
No. It was Scott, you okay over there, bud? No,
when the lights went down.
Well, Mike's
dimming the lights.
Mike's working on the lights.
But when it went down, Scott couldn't.
I can't see my laptop.
Yeah.
Oh. Okay.
And he needs to see his laptop.
Yeah,
that's
we're giving out so many stats right now.
Yeah.
I'm looking at the awards.
Oh, the FSTA awards.
Yeah, so let the barbs be accurate.
Oh, accurate barbs.
It's okay. Looking at the FSTA awards is a new form of roster baiting, clearly.
Pretty much.
Anyway, Corey. I can find out later today.
But they had a big party, whatever company that was.
350 people were here.
Yeah, they had a lot of women too.
Yeah.
I wonder if they're hiring part-time. You know,
part-time,
in the evening. I can
Women at work can get you in trouble, though.
Oh, tell me about it, brother. Tell me about it.
Oh, really? You've had some issues in the past, Corey.
Oh, my goodness. You know.
I got married to one.
Oh, really?
You know, a lot of...
Yeah.
And then you got divorced from one, too.
Yeah, well, 12 and a half years. That was a good run.
Oh, that's a good run.
That's a good run.
Yeah. You don't know what the thing about it is. You spend 40 hours a week with these people. You know what I'm saying? They kind of... You might spend... You know, 25 with the people at home, so it's like
that's true.
They become, you know, almost like your family.
That's why you're my family.
Yeah, so you know,
why? Well, yeah.
So you might as well sleep with someone. You might as well sleep with someone you know.
Exactly.
It's a great point.
Keep it right in house. You know what I'm saying? You can leave the job together and go home.
All
right, and then come back to work together.
So we have somehow gone from FSTA roster baiting. To talk about sleeping with women at the workplace.
Yes.
and that's the
problem is, when you're an FSTA nominated show, you have no women.
Yeah, so, that's the thing about this industry. Like, our fans are like 45-year-old men. You know what I'm saying? That's not really, you can't really.
Oh, some are younger.
The groupies.
No, there's a lot of younger fans.
Yeah, I agree with
you. Yeah, it's not many female fans.
There's a few. We got a few.
We don't have no groupies, though.
We do? That's not true.
Kelly calls like every day.
Are you calling Kelly a groupie?
Are you calling Kelly a groupie?
Yeah, that's exactly what I thought.
I think she'd
Scott
be okay with it.
There.
Yeah.
She'd be okay with you calling
Kells,
her a groupie.
Kells, we know you're listening. 844-843-6879. We'd love for you to respond to Scotty's comments. On the other side of the break, we'll talk a little NFL football here, week number 15, semifinals of the fantasy football season underway. Let's kick it. Let's do it. Next, you're the Roto Experts. It's the Roto Experts in the morning here on the Fantasy Sports Radio Network. And Tony, you heard Scott refer to our friend Kelly as a groupie, correct?
Yes.
We are now joined by Kelly from Tampa. Good morning, Kels.
Hey, girl.
Hi, guys. How are you?
How's it going?
Pretty good.
Now,
I was checking my waiver wires, and then I heard Kelly and to call, so I did.
Now, how do you take what Scott Engel had said about you?
What did he say? I missed it. I was checking my waivers.
Well, so Corey was referring to our fans as old 45-year-old men and older. And Scotty brought you up and then called you a groupie for our program.
I guess that wouldn't be too bad. It depends on what kind of groupie.
Scott?
Yeah, that's true.
Would you like to clarify what kind of
clarify? Groupie? Yeah, we need some clarification.
Somebody who follows the show religiously and is a fan of ours.
Oh, okay, that's not bad. I'm not like psycho or anything.
No, not at all.
It's good clarification by you. Okay, fine.
Yeah,
Kelly, would you like us to help you with your waiver wires while you're here?
Well, I picked up Kenneth Dixon and dropped Smallwood because of the injury, and then I picked up Ty Montgomery for Sanu.
That seems like a good move. Those seem like good moves.
I like both those moves. I'll tell you what, Dixon's the guy. He's going to be heavily owned this week in Daily Fantasy. A lot of people are going to jump on that one game bandwagon. And I think with good, you watch that game, and it's hard not to say that Kenneth Dixon didn't look good in that game. He looked really good, and I can't see Baltimore going back there. So I like that move. To get him this late in the playoffs is kind of crazy.
I agree. Well,
this is my first week for the playoffs. So, you know, it was a like win or die mode last week, and thankfully I squeaked it out because they went heavy or started heavy on the Saints Bucks game, and you know there wasn't a lot of point scoring fantasy wise for that game.
There you go, Kelly. I might need a date on Valentine's Day in the Tampa area. There's something I got to attend. Would that be something to be in it? Like Bon Jovi's playing that night on Valentine's Day of all the nights to put a concert, right?
Are you going to take me? Because I love Bon Jovi.
Oh, really? You like Slippery When Wet?
No, I'm more of a you give love a bad name type of girl.
Oh, All right, we'll see if we can work this out, Kelly. We'll see if we can work this out.
You know, WWE's coming.
Yeah,
I saw on Facebook that you had your son at the game, and then they had, like, the wrestlers there.
Yeah, I'm actually going the night after in Jacksonville, so I can't spend a couple nights at the WWE. Then I would be a groupie.
Yeah, so
that would be fun.
Yeah.
All right, I'll keep in touch.
Okay.
All right. So this is somehow turned into Tony asking women on dates.
Well, it's Bon Jovi. It's on.
On my way to work today, I actually saw Bon Jovi's also coming to the Garden for a couple nights. I believe in April.
Talk the wife into going to Mariah Carey and Lionel Richie that touring together.
I saw that they're in Tampa as well.
Yeah, April 1st at the Garden. Yeah.
Yeah, Tampa's 3 hours away.
Now, if that happened, would you bring your lovely wife to Rockin' Riley's beforehand for a drink?
Yeah, right across the street.
Yeah, here. Yeah,
it makes sense. Yeah.
Wow. So I have that to look forward to.
Yeah.
I hope you. I hope you convince her to go.
Yeah. Well, she's always enjoyed you on the radio. So
I'm that'd be wonderful. Does she have our app?
What's that?
Does she have the app?
Yeah. She usually listens for like from 8:30 to like 9:30.
Okay.
Yeah.
Very cool.
Yeah. Are you guys surprised though? I was surprised that Mariah Carey opened up. I know Lionel Richie's been around forever, but isn't she more popular? Yeah, why is she opening?
She's
for
such
Lionel
a
Richie?
Diva too, right?
You don't think maybe they switch off every night?
Well, you know what they do? It's what they've done in concert biz, called co-headliners.
Yeah.
Although some groups, like I know one group like co-headline with another, and one was very demanding about which one went last, etc. But you know these especially when you talk about groups from the older eras like the 80s, etc., the 70s, these groups are like touring on bills together sell more tickets.
You know what's in the charge a little more? You know what's interesting, though? When you go to – I go to a lot of music festivals. They don't want to be on last because they don't want to be there all day.
Yeah,
so they try to get on in the middle of the show and get the hell out of there.
I remember I saw Kiss and Aerosmith. Aerosmith demanded to be on last. down in West Palm Beach when I was living down there, and I remember a lot of the Kiss fans left when Aerosmith came on, and that was a mistake. I'd never seen Aerosmith live, and they put on a heck of a show.
Great. Great. Okay.
Sussman, we're getting everything in today.
We are. We're getting a full complement of worldliness, right? Like, I feel like I'm educated now. Now.
Yeah, we're getting a little. What's up next? We went FSTA to Mariah Carey to Lionel Richie to concert festivals.
Yes.
What do you got next?
I don't know. I got some football, I guess. We could do that.
By the way, real quick, and I'll have audio on Old School Fantasy.
Oh, yeah, you were the Mets.
I went to the New York Mets holiday party yesterday.
Right.
So
He says that. He shrugs his shoulder. We hung out with John Franco here yesterday.
Oh, Franco was here?
He was.
Was he in studio?
He was outside the studio looking in. We waved.
Oh, nice. I've met Franco before. Actually, he was. Corey remembers. He actually.
He told
the
story yesterday.
Yeah, he bought a shitload of ice cream.
Yeah, we had good humor for 2 months. He used to play fantasy football back with David Cone and Howard Johnson, like back in the very back in the days. And yesterday was pretty cool. I got some good audio from Sandy Alderson, talking about Zach Wheeler later this afternoon, talking about Jose Reyes, David Wright, Jerry's Familia. Also, maybe some stuff you guys can use on Out of Bounds. Alderson talking about what he felt about the whole Texas Rangers hazing incident. His comments were interesting on that. Reyes talking about, I'll have that audio on this week as well, about him playing, basically becoming like a Ben Zobrist type, and they want to put him all over the diamond this year.
Okay, now did you get Noah Syndergaard to come here?
Not yet. Okay. I will let you know when that happens.
Okay. Hey.
Those things are probably going to happen during the summer, because that's when those guys like prepare for their fantasy football playoffs.
Well, I thought maybe the winter when they're not actually playing.
Syndergaard is like, doing like a ton of promotion for the Mets and stuff.
So
he's
going to promote on our network.
Yesterday he was doing the holiday party. Today he's going to be at a Modell's in Queens. Mm-hmm. Doing shopping sprees with kids.
That's very nice of him.
All right,
I think
a good shot we'll have him here next summer.
Yeah, no doubt. I seen him with Andre Johnson had did that recently. Also,
it's a good job by Andre Johnson. Expecting nothing else to do though.
Went and bought a whole bunch of. Played Santa Claus for a whole bunch of kids.
Well, he's got nothing else to do.
Huh? Yeah.
He's got nothing else to do.
Yeah. Well, I mean, still it's a nice gesture.
Of course. Just saying.
There's plenty of people sitting on the couch with plenty of money that ain't buying, nothing for kids.
Yeah.
Joel Osteen. Throwing it away. here we go with Joel Osteen again.
Hey, I got a problem, Greg. I got to get out there before.
Please, before we do anything, sure.
The Cleveland Cavaliers are not in the Christmas spirit, and they're ruining the kids of Memphis' dreams. Tonight, they're sitting out Kyrie, LeBron, and Kevin Love. They're not even getting on a plane. Like, you can't even go watch them shoot layups tonight.
That's horrible. All three of them?
All three of them. It's insane.
That's kind of messed
crazy.
Up. Like, I get it. That's, like, very messed up, though. You don't even go support your teammates. Are you going to be there to, like, take a picture with LeBron there? Like, this is your only... Yeah. You may go to Memphis. You don't know how many games you go to, right? You take your son. You have your hard-earned living, right? You buy a ticket. Cleveland's coming to town. Let me buy a ticket for my son to see these superstars. And you can't even see them.
That's crazy, because what if the son wanted to go see LeBron James' Christmas gift?
Sure.
And you pop,
that's what I'm saying.
Yeah, you
pop
a lot of money.
And you pop $300 for some tickets,
seats.
For good seats and stuff like that. And then LBJ don't show up. Adam Silver has to do something about
it. I don't mind him sitting out. I've talked about that before. It's one thing to sit out. It's another thing to not even show up. All three of them!
Yeah, they're not getting on the plane to go to Memphis in a
back-to-back. I wonder what they're doing instead.
Is JR going, or is JR sticking with LeBron?
JR's going to go. Yeah, he wants to shoot 40 times. He's not going to miss this game.
You can expect him to be there for
He's
that.
Been waiting 5 years for this.
When's the next time Cleveland plays? I'm assuming they play on Christmas, obviously. That's a couple weeks now.
Yeah, play the Warriors. That's going to be a goodie.
I don't
goodie.
Think they'll miss that one.
No, you never know. LeBron might, if it's in Golden State, LeBron might have to stay in Cleveland for Christmas. He's got
you know what's
in.
Funny about that? Yeah, you know what's funny about that? You're 100% right, right? That game's going to be a big showcase. Nobody's going to miss that day. But everybody, the game middle of the week, Memphis. It's crazy what they allowed. If I was the NBA commissioner, I would say, man, you can't sit out all three in one night. Send someone to that game.
Hmm. Yeah, I think it's crazy. It's so nice, and All three.
Yeah, these guys are like big shots. Just walked up here.
You think so? Why? Because they're in a suit and it's in the morning?
Yeah, big shots.
Oh, I forgot about this. Flores reminded me of this. Kyrie didn't play last night either. Kyrie's taking like a week off here.
Yeah, he's aware resting. He's getting strong for the second half of the season. It's crazy. Marcus Gasol, of course, missed the game last night as well. He should be back for Memphis in tonight's game. It's just getting high. Last night, we spent the whole hour on the lineup block show.
Yes.
Rebuilding lineups with every guy that was injured.
Were there a lot of injuries last night, Tone?
Well, those injuries, those guys resting. You had the Oklahoma City situation there with Anthony Morrow being out. Kent Bazemore came back but only played 15 minutes in that game for the Atlanta Hawks last night. So there was a lot of little things that just changed the scope of the lineups.
All right. Well, that's very frustrating. That's why you have to listen to the Lineup Lock Show at 6 o'clock every single night for information like this.
Yeah, and tonight, you know what? It's crazy. I was thinking about the whole. I get on a plane at 6:40 tonight. It's going to limit me playing, DFS basketball. This is what they were talking about: the struggles of DFS hoops.
But it's going to be exciting, though. You get on a plane here, I assume, correct?
Yes. I am flying to New York, and I'm going to be at 5:30 in the morning, having to look at Mike Florio face to face, and wondering where we get coffee and bagels.
We can get your coffee. I can't promise
you
bagel.
You know the area. You know the great thing for you, Tony, is you're going to be able to go see your girl at the bread factory there around the corner.
I'm definitely going to take.
That's where you get your bagels. So. You're back in muffin territory.
Let's not name the restaurant. That'll pass.
Yeah. Right, and I don't need everybody to know that I go to the muffin place for girls.
Yeah. You outed him just like
unbelievable.
That,
unbelievable.
You can go see your girl at 215 West 35th Street.
The bagel place is open to everybody. You buy bagels?
Scott's getting the commission under the table. We don't even know about
it. She's listening to the show, and now she's all excited you're coming back.
It'll be a good time. I'll go there and get my favorite bagels. And I might actually give some out in the street of New York. So if you're walking down the street, I might give you a bagel or two. Yeah, Scott, I've done that before.
Yeah, you haven't been to New York and back in New York in a little while. And when you were here every day, you were in danger, like looking up at the buildings and getting hit by a car. So I'm going to have to hold your hand again.
Whoa.
Interesting. So, yeah, so Tony, that's the good news. We're gonna surprise with that one there.
That'd be fun.
Tony Cincata live in studio with us tomorrow, the four of us. Four of us, first time in history, we'll be hosting the Roto Experts tomorrow morning live here. And Jake Seeley will also be in the house tomorrow as well.
Yeah, Jake Seeley will be in the house tomorrow too. All in, kid. Jake
next two days will be a lot of fun here at our network. A lot of fun.
Yeah, I got a feeling
I'll be a lot of drinking. So if you listen to Out of Bounds by 4 o'clock, some of these people could be tanked.
Boy. Well, you think by 4 o'clock tomorrow you will be tanked? You're saying?
No, not myself. I said some other people.
I haven't had any eggnog yet.
Well, how's your bar get some eggnog?
By 6 o'clock, though, I could be drunk.
Go to the bar and get some eggnog. I'm working.
You're working, okay.
You like eggnog?
I love eggnog.
I don't like it with the alcohol in it. People get too crazy, like they put too much out when they make it.
Yeah.
It has to be just right.
Okay.
How about you, Sussman? You an eggnog guy?
No, not really. Not really an eggnog person. Yeah, I'm sorry. No. Scotty?
No. I don't drink.
No, I don't drink.
Yeah, but you could have the non-alcoholic.
You have the non-alcoholic eggnog.
I don't know if I've ever tried it, actually, to be honest.
Oh, I like it. You should try it. I'll bring you some.
Okay.
Hey, Florio, you like eggnog?
Not too much, no.
Oh, I guess I'm on the ship by myself.
I'm sorry.
That's all good.
All right. Does anybody else have anything they want to get off their chest here before we go to the break? You know, anything?
Have you guys... ever cashed a check for any of these Arabs that email you?
All right. So with that, it's the last time I'm going to open up the floor for that.
Right. Forgot who you're working with there.
You know what? We took a shot, tried to be kind, and it crashed and burned. All right. So when we come back, we're going to talk a little NFL football. That's okay with you because that's what we're doing. On the other side of this break here on the Real Experts in the Morning. Yes, really. Roto Experts in the Morning here on the Fantasy Sports Radio Network. And I want to start one of the things we were talking about yesterday, which was Michael Floyd, guys. I know that doesn't help anybody this weekend, but I find it interesting. Because Bruce Arians said, that literally said this out loud. I know coaches love to lie. But he said that the Cardinals are checking the CBA to figure out what they can do for Michael Floyd after he was arrested for drunk driving. Let me ask you, Corey. If the Cardinals are in the thick of a playoff race,
yeah,
and Michael Floyd is having a better season than he was, will Bruce Arians be checking the CBA to find out how he can discipline Michael Floyd?
No, he'd be finding out how to sweep underneath the rug and keep it moving without making a big deal out of it. Bruce Arians full of malarkey. You know what I'm saying? Checking the CBA. Okay, so now all of a sudden we're going to cut Michael Floyd because he was drunk driving, sleep behind the wheel, whatever the case may be. They're cutting Michael Floyd because of poor performance of the team and poor performance from Michael Floyd. Nothing to do with this. They want to get some of that money back since you had a bad season. Right. That's how they're going
to
go
about it. I don't even need to check the CBA for. He's benched Michael Floyd all year. What the hell do you need to check the CBA for now?
Exactly. So
you want his ass on the bench? Put him on the bench.
Yeah, that's it. It's nothing to do with this thing right here. Well, it's everything to do with this thing right here, but really, don't try to do that. Because
right.
Bruce Arians, you ain't perfect.
So Michael Floyd kind of leads me to the next topic that I actually really wanted to get into, which is these older guys that every year nobody wants to draft because they're ugly, that you get amazing discounts for. And I go back to my drafts, right, where everybody, or not everybody, but myself, I know Jake and Chris Vaccaro, so many of us were high on Michael Floyd again.
I wasn't.
And that's fine. Rodas, former co-host here on the Roto Experts this morning, he's no longer award nominated, of course, but that's okay.
He got some nominations. He got one.
Not for this show, though.
No, he got one for another show, though.
That's nice, but it's not as good as our nomination.
No.
So
sorry, Adam.
You're waiting for Tony to chime in with his.
I wonder if he's going to come to the holiday party. Maybe I shouldn't have wondered out loud.
So you think Rodas is that much of a freebie guy, right? He'd show up.
He was very much a freebie guy. He used to yell at Nando for not bringing him donuts.
Oh yeah, that's right.
Yeah.
So going into this to the drafts, I was all about Michael Floyd, like so many of us other ones. We were burned constantly, and I sit here, and I just don't understand why I don't draft Larry Fitzgerald. And I sit here almost this time, guys, every single year, wondering, well, why don't I just draft Larry Fitzgerald?
Because he's not sexy enough.
But he is sexy enough, though.
The name,
he's Larry Fitzgerald. He's one of the best receivers of all time.
You always feel as if you're looking for the fall off, right, which just hasn't come.
Right.
It's probably still not going to come anytime soon.
So why don't I draft him?
And you always think that the other guys in the offense are going to take over and be more predominant. And as play a more predominant role in the passing game.
But why do I think that?
I don't know why. We as an industry think that.
That was the narrative on Larry Fitzgerald, but it kind of reminds me when Andre Reed was playing, everybody was waiting for it, and it didn't even happen until he left Buffalo. With these receivers, somebody like Fitzgerald could be really good till he's age 35. It's a little bit different than a running back sometimes. You give 2-3 more years to the receiver, to have very good years overall, I believe. But you give Fitzgerald a lot of credit because he really remade himself as a receiver. He became even, more surgical and more of a route runner later in his career. Corey spoke to all the right points. And it's kind of like the old Marshawn Lynch conversation where we waited for it, and it took 3 years, but it finally happened. And you don't want to be the one to be on that train, Greg. When he falls
I'm gonna
off.
Ride the train.
Yeah,
I'm gonna ride it. Nah, you know what else? This time last year, Michael Floyd was excelling. So he looked like he was
John
ascending.
Brown looked like he was.
Yeah, he looked
ascending.
Like he was ascending.
But it's not like Larry Fitzgerald was descending.
No, that's true too. But see, I didn't touch
they
him.
They didn't see the upside though. But you know what?
I look at
people.
Larry.
People want upside.
But Larry Fitzgerald is as consistent as you get, right? On the year, 91. He has 91 receptions, 892 yards, and 5 touchdowns.
He's been excellent.
That's what he has every freaking year.
He's a WR1 as always. Write him in there, wide receiver one last year.
And you get him for nothing.
Nah, I'm going to say you get him for nothing.
You don't have to.
Greg, you're
Yes.
You're right to a point. You're right, because you're right. These guys have a bargain. LeSean McCoy was another one.
Yes.
People think the older people in the NFL, right, they sort of write them off, and they always look for the sexy pick. We have people that don't even try to win in fantasy football. They want to tell you, oh, I drafted this guy in the fourth round, and he had a big season. Like, they're always looking for upside, and they want to be the guy right about that player that they got a bargain on. And instead of just taking the unsexy pick, let everyone else make the mistake, and you can be right there at the end of the season in contention every year just by picking the boring player.
So I'm going to tell you why people are worried or don't draft Larry Fitzgerald. It goes back to 2 years ago. Because in 2014, he only had 784 yards, 63 receptions, and 2 touchdowns. And people thought that was the beginning of the decline.
Who was the quarterback?
Was it Carson Palmer? No?
He was. I think that's... Yeah, he was
banged up. He was banged up the whole second half.
They had four or five quarterbacks.
That was like the John Skelton year.
Okay. So everyone sees that. You're absolutely right, guys. Everybody sees that and says, okay, Larry Fitzgerald is on the downturn. They forget last year. I know a lot of it came in the first half, but they forget last year he wound up with over 1,200 yards, over 100 receptions, and 9 touchdowns. So the touchdowns are down this year, but he's have a very good chance of going over 1,000 yards again. He's going to have over 100 receptions for the second consecutive year. Basically, he's the same guy he has always been, and as long as he stays healthy, which predominantly in his career he has, he's going to be good again next year. I've literally written down on a piece of paper, draft Larry Fitzgerald, because it's not going to cost me all that much, and he's going to be damn good again.
Well, who's going to be the quarterback before you hop out that window, Greg?
Even if it's Carson
and
Palmer.
Talk about who,
you gotta, even if it's Carson Palmer.
Still, you got to figure out, well, what if it's worse than Carson Palmer, which may be difficult
to do.
That's
a big thing.
See, you never know what the situation with the quarterback is going to be, what kind of shakeups they're going to have in 2017. Will Bruce Arians be the coach?
Yes.
Okay.
I think
I'm just throwing that out there.
Who's going to be the quarterback? You know, think it might be Palmer.
I think it will be Palmer. I think Palmer's under contract.
I remember talking to Fitzgerald like just when they acquired Palmer, and I said, how happy you must be that you got Carson Palmer, and he said, you have no idea.
Yeah, and I was there, and Scott's tongue was hanging out his mouth when he was looking at Larry Fitzgerald in amazement.
Yeah, well, it's because Scott's not used to people being honest with him.
No, he likes athletes. He's a groupie. Yeah.
Well, you know what? I appreciate Larry Fitzgerald's honesty there, as I'm sure you did too, Scotty.
That I did.
He just finally had someone to trust throwing the ball, and how these numbers could have been even better if he had a legit quarterback. Carson Palmer, as much as we hate him as fantasy owners right now, Larry Fitzgerald's had a really nice season, and I don't think it's going to change next year. He's currently what? He's born in 83, so he's 33 right now, right? He's 33 years old. Next year, he'll be 34 years old. Maybe I'm going to get caught like I did with Andre Johnson last year. It's definitely possible.
All right, let's hash it out right here. Let's talk about it.
Okay.
All right. Obviously, okay, Marvin Jones, Larry Fitzgerald.
I like this. Give me Larry Fitzgerald.
Larry Fitzgerald.
Screw that.
Larry Fitzgerald. Jones is too inconsistent this year.
I like Larry Fitzgerald. I think when you look at Arizona, Michael Floyd won't be back there, right?
Correct.
So you get one less wide receiver in the mix. J.J. Nelson probably ascending. I think he'll be the hot name that everybody talks about.
Give me Larry Fitzgerald over J.J. Nelson.
Oh, I agree. But I'm saying as far as guys that are there, I don't think people are going to go back to John Brown. I think John Brown's a deep ball threat there. So I think Larry Fitzgerald actually is going to go a little earlier than he did this year.
Julian Edelman, Larry Fitzgerald.
I would go Edelman.
See, this is where I would get caught. But I'm not doing it again. Yeah. Larry Fitzgerald.
All right. Keep not getting caught. Doug Baldwin, Larry Fitzgerald.
I have a crush on Doug Baldwin.
Yeah, I got to go Baldwin too.
I got to go Baldwin. I have a crush on him.
All right. Golden Tate, Larry Fitzgerald.
Boy.
I'm going to go Golden Tate.
Tony?
I would lean towards Golden Tate right now, and I'm not confident in that answer.
Yeah, that was a tough one.
I'm kind of like Tony.
Because
you got
three wide receivers in Detroit. Depending on the makeup of that Arizona wide receiver group, Larry Fitzgerald is going to be in line to catch 8-10 balls each and every time. That's not going to always happen in Detroit. There's too many weapons.
Dante Moncrief, Larry Fitzgerald.
Larry Fitzgerald.
Larry Fitzgerald.
Don't write Moncrief off.
I look Moncrief.
Not Moncrief off, but I'd rather have Fitzgerald.
All right. Larry Fitzgerald, Randall Cobb. Randall Cobb's having a bad year.
Again?
Okay.
Yeah, I go Fitzgerald.
Fitzgerald, Diggs.
That's interesting.
That's an interesting one.
Especially if they improve the wide receiver across. Well, if they do, he's not going to hog up.
I'll say Larry Fitzgerald.
Wow, you go Fitzgerald over
the Terp.
This is the toughest one yet, though.
Like Golden Tate.
Do they really need to improve the other wide receiver?
Adam Thielen's awesome.
Yeah, Thielen's good.
The way he's been playing.
Yeah, you're right. The offense needs to improve overall, though. It's just...
Oh, yeah. Well, it's the offensive line. I mean, you see it in the running game, sometimes in the passing
game. They're not going to have a lot of... I think if we're looking at it now, Diggs still be a target hog. I'm going to go Diggs.
So I
can catch 10 passes in
a game. I got a couple more. So I think let's say we all agree you'll select Michael Thomas over Larry Fitzgerald.
I will do that. Yes.
Oh, definitely. Yeah.
Okay. Macklin or Fitzgerald?
Fitzgerald.
All right, that was easy.
Yeah.
Watkins, Fitzgerald.
Fitzgerald.
Watkins.
Give me the guy to play 16 games.
Really?
I won't
pick Sammy Watkins next year.
I'm going back to Watkins.
So you're all going back to Watkins.
I'm the punishment.
No, not me. I'm just taking him off my draft list and let someone else.
Same. It's just not worth it.
He's on Tony's do not draft list.
I agree, but if somebody's asking me, who would you tell people to pick first? I'm going to say Watkins.
I wouldn't.
Here we go. I got two more for you.
Okay.
Keenan Allen, Larry Fitzgerald.
You know what?
I take Keenan Allen again.
Me too.
And you know what's crazy?
Same.
I'll end up taking him in the second round in draft next
Same.
Year.
Let me ask you this, Tony.
I'm going to get beat down. I'm going to cry.
Let me ask you, Tony. You never want to touch Watkins, but Keenan Allen is always getting it injured, too. Watkins?
It makes no sense.
It makes no sense. Here's the difference, though. Here's really this. Keenan Allen's had different injuries. That's the same foot's been Sammy Watkins' problem for 2 years.
Okay. All right, and last one, Larry Fitzgerald, Michael Crabtree.
That's a good one.
We'll go Crabtree.
So Crabtree, I'm really happy you brought him up, because Crabtree's another one that's the same thing. And he's another one that I'm not going to get beaten by again. Because Michael Crabtree.
Greg is circling these names.
I am.
I'm not passing on you no more.
100%.
I'm not passing on you no more.
And you know, maybe I should do a Sammy Watkins, because he was another one like these guys that I was just going to pass on no matter what, because I didn't believe in him and I always thought the injury was there.
Yep.
And Michael Crabtree, much like Larry Fitzgerald, a younger, and he's younger, it just feels like he's been around for so long and he had some injury problems early in his career, that Michael Crabtree is one of these ugly names I never get into, and I'm done with that. I'm going to... he's another one I really like.
Derek Carr relies on him heavily.
Yeah. And Derek Carr's good.
Players to be where to be.
And you know what would be the best thing for Oakland here? They don't win the division, especially if they get like in third. Like, that would be awesome. Like, they make the playoffs with 10 wins, they come in third in their division.
Yeah,
their schedule is going to be amazing.
That's true, too. That makes a good point. Be careful of guys like Devontae Parker in 2017.
He's gonna be a massive name next year.
Because you're going to hear that name. He's going to have a couple good games down the stretch. You're going to hear that name get blown up. But remember, that dude needs to be in pristine health.
Another name is going to blow up next year?
What's
you
that?
You mentioned Keenan Allen? Tyrell Williams. That's a name that's going to blow up.
Yeah, he's going to move up draft boards next season, obviously. Tyrell Williams. I don't know where I'm at on him yet. Kevin White. People are going to put that stock. Yes, they're going to go back to him. They're going to go back to him.
What have you seen?
Because fantasy owners like youth, and they want to be the guy to have him when the player breaks out.
He's right. People just do it, and it's the craziest thing. Like Devontae Parker this year was drafted pretty high for a guy that really hadn't done anything.
When we come back, I'm going to actually look at the draft results here from a league that we did a couple of days before the season started. And we're talking a little bit about the older guys, a little bit about youth. And people love youth, right?
Mm-hmm.
We'll just see how much they love the youth and how right or wrong they were on the other side of the break. We're back here on the Roto Experts in the Morning. Gonna go continue talking this youth. Not versus elder, but just everyone loves the youth. I want to just analyze if they were right this year. So we'll do that.
We got behind a lot of youth in fantasy football.
We do every year.
Two comes right to mind. I already mentioned Moncrief. Tyler Lockett. I can't with Tyler Lockett.
It's another one.
He needs to slide. I'm not fooling with Tyler Lockett.
Neither am I. Tyler Lockett's a good one, too.
Doug Baldwin, Jimmy Graham, Russell Wilson. Other than that, I might go back in on Thomas Rawls. But other than that, no Seahawks. Well, I like the pro size kid.
Pro size might be big next year, but he's got to stay healthy.
Yep.
I actually think Lockett fell before it was all said and done, oddly enough.
Really?
I think if you're playing in your fantasy playoffs this week, I think the Seahawks are going to start, and I'm going to write about this on Seahawks.com later today, my fantasy article that I do from every week. for Roto Experts. I think the Seahawks are going to really lean towards going back to Rawls here to take some pressure off of Wilson and keep the defense off the field. I think now that Rawls is healthy again, I think he's going to be a lock this week in fantasy playoffs.
Yeah.
I seen some early. I think you get a good DFS week from the Seattle Seahawks superstar.
Yes.
See, here's the thing. I'll be cautious on Wilson because defensive line against Seattle's offensive line, from pass blocking, that line blocks better for the run than for the pass. That's why I like Rawls. I wouldn't be going in on Wilson and DFS. Maybe Graham.
I think they're going to use the Rams as a slump buster. You know what I'm saying? Kind of like, let me get in. Get a good one and get out.
I think I think you could see two early touchdowns from Thomas Rawls and a defensive touchdown, and then before you know it's 21-0, and Wilson hasn't done nothing statistically.
Leo from Massachusetts, let's talk to you at 844-843-6879, 844-843-6879. What's up, Leo?
What's going on, guys?
What up, Leo?
Leo.
So I made it to the playoffs by the skin of my teeth this week. I beat my opponent by 0.6, and I'm going up against the number one seed who destroyed me all season long. So I'm kind of swinging for the fences first round of playoffs here. So I got to start him, sit him for quarterbacks. I have Russell Wilson, who you guys are just talking about, and Dak Prescott, and I also kind of have the option I could potentially get Ben Roethlisberger too. So. Out of those three, who do you think my best option is with Prescott, Russell Wilson, and then Big Ben?
I'm not crazy about any of them. I don't like Prescott against Tampa Bay the way that he's been playing, the way Tampa Bay's been playing. Roethlisberger is on the road. I don't think he'll have a terrible game. I think it comes down to Roethlisberger versus Wilson. I don't think either one's going to have a great game, but I feel like Wilson's a little bit of a safer play at home than Roethlisberger on the road.
I agree with Scotty. I think Wilson is safe, but I think him and Prescott is a toss-up. Is Joe Flacco on your waiver wire?
I believe he might be.
If Flacco is there, that's the guy.
Yes.
You heard it from the king. Okay. If Flacco against is there, Philly, that's the guy.
Volume against Philly. I got Joe Flacco top six this week.
Okay. What do you think about Alex Smith? I think he might be on the waiver.
No, son, please. No, Leo.
Now we're overthinking.
Leo. Leo, don't get fooled, Leo.
You want to go with Madden and somebody manage your game and not make the turnovers, that's fine. You don't put him in a fantasy.
You don't want the guy with the one seed to beat you again, so don't stay far away from Alex Smith.
That kind of thinking will get you beat for a third time.
Right. Gotcha.
You guys are very rough on Alex Smith. Don't you hear what Mike Cardano says about him all the time?
That's a jumping jack for Tony. You were going to be here Friday for some jumping jack.
Get ready, buddy.
I might not be able to stand up by Friday.
Then you're going to be doing your jumping jacks are going to look worse than Scott's then.
Scott's had the Richard Simmons one.
Mine were more entertaining than any of yours.
They were. Agreed.
It's amazing, though, when you really look at these numbers, like you guys will. Just knock off Alex Smith for Joe Flacco. And Tennessee Titans are terrible defensively against the pass. And if you look at Alex Smith, right, even if he gets the 28 passes as opposed to Joe Flacco's 45, do we really get concerned that Joe Flacco really hasn't done, with all these throws, he really hasn't done that much? And every show I listen to is telling people to pick up Joe Flacco this week. My mouth is watering when I think people are how disappointed they're going to be.
Amazing coming from you, Tony, because you were the one who was talking about how much he's throwing it and stuff like that.
I know.
And I'm saying, I respect Tony's knowledge so much that I like Flacco this week. And look, they're going against the Eagles.
If you look at it, though, he never puts up a big game, right? He had 14, 9, like he's consistent. 14, 19, 25, 15, 15, 8, 17. So he's right there. He's the 16th best quarterback right now in fantasy football with all those passes, right? So it gives you the ability there. It actually points per game. He's at 18, and I'm looking for Alex Smith. Alex Smith is at 16, so there's only 2 points difference in those games despite being the number one passer in attempts.
Here's the thing, though, like doing my lineup ranking, starting on him, it was like so many quarterbacks, though, that I have behind him have bad matchups. It's like Russell Wilson, I don't trust him against the Rams. I don't like Roethlisberger on the road. I don't like Breeze on the road. I don't like Luck against Minnesota, and then you're basically like almost dropping out of the top 12 right there. I have him seventh right now.
And Smith hasn't scored over 18 fantasy points since week 11.
Of what season?
Yeah, exactly. And then he really did that for the most part this season. At least with Flacco, I think you can get to that 22-25.
Well, look at this. Flacco had, right, so Alex Smith in week 11, using your week 11, 22, 17, 15, 14. Flacco in those same weeks at 18, 15, 33, and then at 22. Except for the 33 game, same.
Now let me guys ask you, have you asked this real quick. Let's play this game. Flacco or Russell Wilson?
Oh, Russell Wilson. I'm telling you.
Russell Wilson.
I'm telling you, the Rams are a slump buster for the Seahawks this week.
Flacco or Roethlisberger?
Flacco.
See, that's the one. Ben Roethlisberger, to me, everybody's writing him off this week because of the whole home road splits. Yeah, and they've been running the ball a ton there. So I get that, but I wouldn't sit him out in a playoff game. If I've been using him all season long, there's no way that I put him on the bench. I mean, he only had 4 points as a fantasy quarterback last week, so I can see why people are going to make this move, but I really think it could come back to haunt him. So
I don't think I could do it either.
What about Flacco first Breeze?
I'm not sitting Drew Brees in my semifinals.
At Arizona, the
are you
way
out of your mind?
He hasn't played well like the last 3 weeks.
You're going to sit Drew Brees?
On the last 2 weeks.
Yeah. For Flacco, yeah.
On the other side of the break, we'll see if you actually have the balls to do that. We'll be right back.
You're listening to the Fantasy Sports Radio Network. Roto Experts in the Morning is on now.
Experts is here on the Fantasy Sports Radio Network. And before we went to the break, Scotty was playing Joe Flacco, or, you know, names are good names, Russell Wilson, Ben Roethlisberger, all completely fair points, fair questions, no doubt about it. Then he got to Drew Brees, and he said, Joe Flacco or Drew Brees? And I said, quote, are you nuts? And you said, I'm starting Joe Flacco over Drew Brees. Look what he's done the last 2 weeks. Look at the defense he plays this week in Arizona. You're going Joe Flacco over Drew Brees, what you said, correct?
Yeah, I don't think it's crazy either, though. It's, you know, Brees in his last 2 road games, not throwing a touchdown pass, and his 6 interceptions.
Oh, yeah.
In his last 3 road games.
That's the last 2 games.
Last 3 road games, he has 2 touchdowns and 7 interceptions. It's something I'm very, very strongly considering.
Can I ask you a question? One question, that's all I need. Have you ever used the phrase, you've got to start your studs?
Ever?
Yes, I have.
Okay.
But I don't feel he's a stud right now.
Used the phrase, over don't 2 weeks? Get into the playoffs and start overanalyzing your roster?
I believe he said that as well, yes.
Yes, I have.
Yes. That's what you're doing.
Like,
you are overanalyzing, Scott.
I'm overanalyzing when a guy has no touchdowns and no 6 interceptions.
2 weeks.
In his last
come
2
on.
Games.
We have
you're
seen
a
that
prisoner
before.
Of the moment.
Yes. We have seen that before with superstars.
Guys look terrible.
Wait a minute. So you sound like a guy like, all right, Julio Jones has 2 games in a row, 1 for 33, 2 for 26. We're going to bench Julio
Drew
Jones.
Drew Brees has not been as good on the road all year long.
He's been fine, actually.
He's been fine. Let me look up the splits.
Sure.
Right, look up the splits.
You know
Scott.
At home. You know at home is
listen,
absurd.
If you are, you yeah. cannot yeah. in week 15 in the semifinal round.
That is overthinking.
Go
over
out with Drew Brees on your bench for damn Joe Flacco.
Damn Joe Flacco.
Come on, man. Come on, Scott. That's over analysis. You having that mental press conference you always talk about. You're going in. You're having that press conference moment right now, Scott.
Don't
let it get you. The fantasy demons are trying to get the king. What are you doing? Get away from the king. Get away.
He's had a 91.7 quarterback rating on the road with 11 touchdowns and 7 interceptions.
I don't care if it was 10. I don't care if it was 10, Scott. You got to go down with Drew Brees.
I want you to bench him this week. You should bench him.
I'm not in a position to do that.
What do you mean you're not in a position to do that?
You don't own them.
The team that I had Breeze on got eliminated.
Yeah. So now you're holding a grudge against
Breeze.
That's
what it is.
Now we get to the bottom
of it.
He's
holding a grudge.
Now you're holding a grudge against Drew Breeze.
Where are you guys ranking Joe Flacco this week?
Well, I don't do ranks, so you can ask Tony.
Tony?
I've got him at 11.
11.
And where is Drew Breeze?
Probably Drew Breeze nine. Is number four. Number six.
Number six. That's five spots.
Right now, I got him at number 10.
Where's Joe Flacco?
7.
So you were actually telling people.
I got Flacco ahead of Wilson, Roethlisberger, Breeze, and Luck.
You're looking for a big
game. Wait. So you were telling people to bench Andrew Luck and Drew Breeze for Joe Flacco.
You're not saying bench them. This is just his rankings.
Which says bench him.
Which says bench him. He is. That's exactly what he said.
Four teams playing. Yeah.
This is what you could be leaving on the table. Last year against Arizona, at Arizona, 30 for 48, 355, and a touchdown.
Tony, with all due respect, if I would have said that to you, you know what you said to me?
I don't care about the past.
I don't care about last year.
Correct. For sure.
I'm just saying. I'm just giving you an example. What
I can't look
happened.
At last year, okay?
I can't look. I just tell you, this could happen if you do that. I think
I'd be very surprised if he had those type of numbers this week.
I'll tell you right now, I would be very surprised if Scott actually, if you were in this circumstance, I believe you would leave Drew Brees in there.
Let me ask you a question.
There's no way you'd
do. Do you take into consideration at this time in semifinals? You got four teams left in the league playing. Do you look at your opponent's quarterback and say, "Okay, my opponent has Aaron Rodgers." I gotta make sure I go mano a mano against Aaron Rodgers.
I don't do that. I just play who I feel is my better choice.
Okay.
Okay. So, Scott, you are legitimately telling people that have paid for your advice all year long to bench Drew Brees for Joe Flacco this week.
I'm doing that. I feel like Flacco's got a better floor.
I can't knock his hustle. He kept it honest. I just think that's one of the moves he preaches against, having that mental press conference. Now, I'm pitching Roethlisberger.
This is the exception rather than the rule, and I'll throw another one of my statements out there. Nothing's absolute.
I understand that.
Yeah.
But now I honestly feel like when we get questions, you get it all the time over at Roto Experts. We all get tweets on this show. Oh, do I bench player A for player B who's hot? And we all like, what are you smoking? Because this is player A. That's what you're doing.
But I've also said at this time of the year, you strip the names off the back
that
of the
is
uniform.
True, too.
You do say that.
And that's why I'm playing Flacco over Roethlisberger. I don't like the splits.
Fine
even
with that.
Even though the game is going to be exciting. It's that rivalry game with the Cincinnati Bengals. But I can't. Ben Roethlisberger is not Drew Brees.
No.
Especially on the road.
He's worse on the road.
Exactly.
He's not. Yeah. Okay. Something else we kind of just glossed over a little bit. Corey and Tony, are you guys both benching Andrew Luck for Joe Flacco?
I don't like Andrew Luck's matchup, but I'm not benching Andrew Luck.
Tony?
Yeah, I'm not benching him either. It's the same thing.
Right.
I say
that's two
again,
of them here.
If you're playing a season-long league, take Scott's case, for instance. Even though he has Joe Flacco ranked higher in his rankings, say he has Joe Flacco at 7 and Drew Brees at 10. You still don't make the move if you use Drew Brees all season long. You just go with him in your playoff.
You know what? If I use Drew Brees all season long, I'm probably eliminated.
Because
of the last 2 weeks.
So I used Drew Brees all season long. I got eliminated.
I think there's
week.
other great quarterbacks that had could have had Russell Wilson in there.
Sure. Yeah, and he's behind him too.
What I'm just saying.
I don't think you might know, Tony,
with Drew Brees.
Tony, Corey's saying bounce back game, get well game. You know, it's like it may be, but I don't think Wilson is going to be the spearhead of that.
Okay, I can dig it. You know what I'm saying? Cam Newton, Joe Flacco.
I'll go Joe Flacco there. I don't have any issue with that.
All right.
I'll go Joe Flacco there.
That was easy.
But how are we just going to be like not go nuts about Andrew Luck also? It's the same thing. It's the same thing as Drew Brees.
I'm playing Andrew.
How are you going to bench Andrew Luck?
I'm playing Andrew Luck. I understand the matchup is tough this week for Luck, but Luck is just a guy that he has the weapon.
And I also want to bring up the fact that I apologize for interrupting you here, Corey.
I'm not going. Go ahead. My bad, Greg.
I apologize. Joe Flacco. Let's not forget the first half. I mean, he threw it 1,000 times in that first half. It went nowhere. Every throw went 5 yards. And the only reason they did anything was because of the special teams turnovers. by New England last week.
I got to take that opportunity. In my specific situation, I'm taking the upside of Flacco and the opportunity, the volume of Flacco over the pitiful home road splits for Ben Roethlisberger.
And I have no issue. I have no issue with that.
I wonder how much weather is going to play into each one of these games.
I'm not worried about weather. No, I can't do the weather thing.
Well, you know where the weather's going to be great? In Arizona, where there is no weather. Where they're in a dome.
Yeah, but Drew Brees.
Drew Brees in a dome.
Drew Brees, what did he do last week? Where did he play last week and the weather was great?
The last week thing, I don't think is a good look.
It's the past.
Yeah, I don't think the last week thing is a good look.
No, that's the present, pretty much.
I don't know. Last week is the past to me. I'm not gonna look.
You're
at
being
last
funny
week.
Now.
I'm gonna go to Arizona. I'm gonna go to Arizona to play Drew Brees. I have all year long.
The way you're making the scene with the Drew Brees argument, it's like you might as well start Tyrod Taylor versus Cleveland.
No, he's not as hot.
I got Taylor 12th.
No, you have Brees where 10, you said?
Yeah.
Okay. And you had Flacco 7. Why don't you just read as your top 10?
Rodgers, Ryan, Cousins, Carr, Rivers, Brady, Flacco, Wilson, Roethlisberger, Brees.
So you would start Ben Roethlisberger over Drew Brees then?
Yeah.
Why?
I feel like it's a really big game for the Steelers. He had a bad performance. I just don't think back-to-back he's going to be that bad. I don't think he's going to be spectacular. But I don't think he's going to be as mistake-prone as he was last week.
But Ben has the same brutal home road splits, right?
Remember, though, they're right next to each other.
I understand. I mean, I'm arguing, you know, bits and pieces here. I completely understand that.
Yeah, I think it comes down to, I don't think you can look a broad ranking. I think you have to look at the situation on your team, on your roster, in your playoff when you're making your decision for your quarterback, if it happens to include Roethlisberger, Brees, Flacco. I think it's a user thing. Like, you know what I'm saying? You got to make the choice. I'm making a choice, me myself personally, to bench Ben Roethlisberger for Joe Flacco. That's what I'm doing in my situation.
I have no issue with that. I just can't do it with Luck, and I can't do it with Brees.
And if the name I was talking about was Luck or Brees versus Flacco,
yes,
they would be in the lineup, and Flacco would be on the bench.
Tony?
Oh, absolutely. I mean, Luck's the fifth top quarterback this year in fantasy. Drew Brees is fourth, and you guys are going to go into a playoff and put in this 18th best quarterback? That's overrating matchups.
Scott?
King.
Well, that's
he made a decision.
Those are all good points, you know, that you know, if you look at it from a season long perspective, but Brees has played very badly to the point recently where people are wondering if he's hurt.
3 weeks ago he had 35 fantasy points.
He's got no touchdowns and 6 interceptions in his last
2 weeks.
So
in 2 games.
So when you say he's due?
He's on the road. No, I'd never say anybody's due. That's a baseball thing. It's not a football thing.
Why is it a baseball thing?
Nobody's ever due in football.
Why is it? No, wait. Brandon Cooks doesn't have a catch 1 week. And everybody in DFS loves Brandon Cooks. Why? Because he's due.
I never give out that advice. I've never said once.
You don't think Brandon Cooks is going to be good?
If a guy is a good game, it's going to be because of the matchup of the game flow, not because he's due. It's not because he's in an 0-for-14 slumps against right-handers.
When Brandon Cooks didn't have a catch and they scored 49 points, did you not come on here and say they're going to work Brandon Cooks in here? You said that.
I did say that, right. but I didn't term it as he's due. Like,
it's the same thing.
When you say a guy's due, it's like he hasn't done anything for 3 games, so all of a sudden he's going to get hot.
Yes.
It's different reasoning. When you say a guy is due, you say, okay, he's cold, so he's going to get hot.
Right.
You know, when you're talking about Brandon Cooks in that situation, it's more like, he didn't do anything last week,
so the team is going to get him back involved.
It's not a thing of just, okay, he's cold and then he's going to get hot. The reasoning is different.
You can term it however you want, whether it's due or cold or hot. Fine. And that's fine. To me, they're very, very similar in my personal opinion.
I don't think they are. I disagree with you.
I look at Drew Brees, and I know what Drew Brees, you could complain about me looking at the past, and that's fine, but I know what Drew Brees has been his entire career. And I don't think in the last 2 weeks he's just fallen off the horse so badly that he's going to kill me in a dome in Arizona. To me, in a dome, 2 weeks in a row, he's not thrown a touchdown, 3 interceptions both times. 2 weeks ago, he did throw for over 300 yards. But to me, in Arizona, whether you want to call it due, whether you want to call
or
it
his last two matchups.
I get it.
Scott's banking on these last two games.
I understand.
Yeah, Scott, I get it.
You know, I don't want to hear about him being in a dome because he didn't do nothing in
Tampa Bay. Hold on. Against Tampa Bay, it's the best defense in the NFL over the last month. Best defense in the NFL. Detroit's been the hottest team in the NFL. So you can say those two defenses or whatever, but they've been playing very, very well over the last 2 weeks. Now, Drew Brees, all season, for most of this season, most of his career, he's been a top fantasy quarterback. You can say he's going to have a good game, whatever. I'm going to say this week he's not going to throw for zero touchdowns. He's going to come out, and you know what? He's going to have a good game, and he's going to have a better game than Joe Flacco.
Based on what? Well, why
based
do you think
on Drew Brees being Drew
based
Brees.
Based on him bringing Drew Brees.
I'm not basing... the last two games are bad games. I don't think the matchups are obviously as good as we all thought they were. Maybe that's on us, right? Maybe that's on us for not realizing how good Tampa Bay's defense has become and how good Detroit's defense has become. Maybe part of that's on us. Am I saying that Drew Brees had a good game? No. Am I saying he was bad? Absolutely. Not disagreeing there. He was very bad the last 2 weeks, although he threw for over 300 yards 2 weeks ago.
That's 3 weeks ago, yeah.
That's 2 weeks ago he threw over 300 yards.
But let me ask you this. So you're basing it more on, you've seen he's either been mediocre or bad on the road a lot this year, but you're basing it on just the fact that he's Drew Brees.
I am basing it on the fact that Drew Brees, 3 weeks ago, as Tony pointed out, had 35 points.
That was a home game, right?
That was a home game, yes, right. Absolutely.
Yeah.
So, but I believe that even on the road this week, Drew Brees is a better start and gives me a better chance at more points than Joe Flacco does.
Why?
Because I think Drew Brees is a better quarterback than Joe Flacco. I think he has more weapons than Joe Flacco.
So you're just
he's
saying,
a better offense than Joe Flacco.
You're just basically saying that
he's better,
because
yes.
His name is Drew Brees.
No, that's not what I said.
And he has that history
that's
of being a better quarterback.
That's part of what I said.
You're going to use him, even though you're overlooking how he's played on the road.
So that's all. To me, all you are taking into account is the struggles on the road, the separation on the road and at home, and the fact that he has struggled the last 2 weeks. That is what you are looking at. I'm looking at the team in general. I find New Orleans to be a better offensive team. I find the weapons on New Orleans to be better than Baltimore's. And I find Drew Brees to be better than Joe Flacco.
And you're going historical because Drew Brees, you're talking about the offense and the receivers.
Right.
In a lot of these road games, the offense hasn't played up to par. The receivers have not played up to par. So you're going on reputation, it sounds like.
See, this is how crazy your argument is, to put it in an honest perspective. If you want to compare Drew Brees and Joe Flacco's road games, let's do it.
Okay.
Let's
do it.
I will concede this before we even start, though.
Why? Okay? How could you do it?
I will concede one thing before we start.
So I win.
No, I didn't say you win.
You said you concede.
Can you let me finish and, you know,
you said you can
maybe slide back on the arrogance a little bit?
How am I being arrogant?
You don't even let me finish my statement.
You said I concede before you begin.
No, I said I'm going to concede one point.
Oh, you
didn't
say 1 point, bro.
Yes.
Sorry.
But, you know, you didn't let me finish. So I will say that, you know, Drew Brees would always seem to have more upside, but I don't feel like I can trust Drew Brees. I feel like he's going to hurt me this week. There's a very good shot of that. I don't feel like Joe Flacco's going to hurt me. I feel like he's the safer play. That's why I'm going to start Drew against the Eagles. I think he's going to do more than that.
Okay.
All right.
So on the road this year, Joe Flacco on the so that's what we're comparing, right? Two guys that are on the road, correct?
Yeah.
Okay.
Yeah.
Is that cool, Scott?
What's that?
Comparing the stats on the road.
Yeah.
They both play on the road. Right?
Yeah.
Okay. On the year, you mentioned Drew Brees has 11 touchdowns and 7 interceptions with a 91 passer rating. That's what you said earlier.
Yeah.
Okay. On the road this year, Joe Flacco has 5 touchdowns, 7 interceptions, and a 75.7 passer rating.
Hard to argue with that.
Yeah. Just saying. He has 12 touchdowns and 5 interceptions at home with a 93 passer rating. At home, Drew Brees, 19 touchdowns, 7 interceptions, 108.6. So obviously, Drew Brees been much better.
That's all fair.
I just got to
But I just feel like recently, like Brees is playing really badly.
Yeah, absolutely.
And Flacco is going to give me something of a better floor in a better matchup.
I just got a tweet.
That's all fair what you guys say.
As a matter of fact, I think we all just got it. If you have Flacco or Cap, you definitely bench him. Brees is a head case right now. You know what's driving this?
Here we go.
Emotions. Emotions of the last 2 weeks of Drew Brees letting people down.
Correct.
Is what's driving this talk of benching Drew Brees in this matchup. I think that is a very risky move to pull in week 15. I can't do it. I'm interested to hear what some of these options, if the callers want to give us a call. I'm interested in hearing some of these options, some of what people are planning on doing in week 15, going for almost for all the marbles, and they got Drew Brees and who they plan on starting over him.
I just don't want anyone that says don't sit your studs ever to talk about it ever again if they sit Drew Brees, who's the fourth best quarterback in the NFL. It's a guy that you drafted early, and if you go with that comment, you can't in week 15 throw it all out the window.
So here's the question, though. Is Drew Brees a stud, though?
Oh, my goodness.
Yes.
He's QB.
He's the fourth best quarterback in fantasy.
He's QB4, Scott, is week 15.
Yes, he's a stud. Yes, he is.
Is Antonio Brown a stud?
So I also want to read the road stats. Now, last week against Tampa Bay, it's a good Tampa Bay defense, which, as I said, we've underrated here. Drew Brees is awful. No touchdowns, three interceptions, threw for 257 yards.
Okay.
He was awful, though. Admittedly so. The last away game he had was on a Thursday night, a short week, in Carolina. Okay, in Carolina, threw for two touchdowns, one interception, 285.
Mm-hmm.
Not terrible.
No. Okay. Drew Brees, like.
I mean, something that Joe Flacco would do, right? A couple weeks before that, he was in San Francisco, threw for three in San Francisco. And again, they're horrible.
They're pitiful.
Horrible. Threw for three touchdowns, 323. Previously, in Kansas City.
Uh-huh.
He threw for three touchdowns, 367. And one interception.
He lit that ass on fire. Didn't they go to Denver this year? They have not gone to Denver.
They were home against Denver.
Oh, they were home.
Home against Denver. Okay. He threw for three touchdowns and 303 yards. Two interceptions, though. I think, as I've said throughout this argument, that we're debating, not really an argument.
He was at the Giants early in the season.
That was very early.
He put up a step.
That was week two. That Joe Flacco, I think we know what we're going to get with Joe Flacco. I think that Drew Brees, and there's nothing wrong with Flacco. Like, I don't have any issue with you playing Joe Flacco over Russell Wilson, over Ben Roethlisberger. I do not have an issue at all for that. So I like Flacco, like Scott likes Flacco this week. But if I am looking to get the most points scored, which, I think you look to most weeks, that's going to be Drew Brees for me. And I completely understand that you disagree.
He has more upside.
Right. To me,
To Tony's point, to say, don't ever get sent to sit your studs. Again, I say nothing's absolute.
Yeah, as you said, we want to know where you stand on this. 844-843-6879, 844-84-FNTS. Why are you starting Joe Flacco or are you starting Drew Brees / Andrew Luck? I think that's kind of the conversation as well. We can talk more about Luck stats on the other side of the break. This is the Roto Experts in the Morning here on the Fantasy Sports Radio Network. Had a great discussion this morning, and we kind of figured when we talked about Scott's Roto Expert chat last night that a lot would be about the quarterback this week, and it is, seemingly. We mentioned Drew Brees is below Joe Flacco. Andrew Luck also below Joe Flacco in Scotty's rankings this week, available now at rotoexperts.com. Andrew Luck on the...
I don't have a problem with Scott's rankings either, to tell you the truth.
Okay.
I just get to a place, though, when you play season-long fantasy football, you don't sit your star players.
Right.
And so a lot of times we give you different rankings when it comes to daily fantasy,
sure,
or that one-week things. I just don't do it from a team overall management standpoint. I think it's a mistake.
Andrew
just to
Luck.
Be clear.
Okay, fair enough.
And you
enough.
Know what? Tony disagrees with me, and that's fair.
Yeah, yeah,
you know,
absolutely.
We're not always going to agree. Sometimes all of us are going to go out on an island. I've done it before. One stat I want to point out, the Cardinals are fourth best.
What is that noise?
The Cardinals
That would be
are,
Tony, I think, doing his mic.
The Cardinals are fourth best against opposing fantasy quarterbacks this year, 14.31 points per game allowed. Now, Tyrann Mathieu not being there, maybe that factors into
Matthew.
It. But over the last 4 weeks, the Eagles have allowed the second most fantasy points to opposing quarterbacks.
Okay. There you go. And
that's something else I factor in.
Probably from a DFS perspective, I don't necessarily disagree. Just can't do it in season long. Andrew Luck, I do want to give his road stats out since he was in the conversation as well. Andrew Luck on the road this year has 12 touchdowns and 5 interceptions compared to 13 touchdowns and 5 interceptions at home. In fact, he has the same amount of completions on the road as he does at home. He's been the same guy at home and on the road this year. Obviously, the toughest matchup in Minnesota.
Yeah, they allow only 13.45 fantasy points opposing quarterbacks. That is second best among NFC teams. Only the Giants are better.
Okay. Pete, we wanted you to join into this discussion as well at 844-843-6879. Joe, what do you have to say? Drew Brees or Joe Flacco?
What's up, guys? I'm in this dilemma now. Unfortunately, Flacco's not available to me on the waiver wire, but I have guys like Sam Bradford and Simeon, and I just said there's no way I can play them over Brees. But if I can bring this up to you guys as well, last week Max Unger didn't play. Michael Thomas was out. And now Arizona, didn't they lose one of their corners, Branch, and another defensive player?
Yeah, we just talked about it. Honey Badger, too, yeah.
Yep.
So it's possible that they might have three guys out then.
And yeah, absolutely. Now, Scotty, I mean, you obviously know Max Unger very, very well. He's the center. He's the guy.
One of the best centers in the league.
Makes all the calls on the line. Michael Thomas has been their best wide receiver all year long.
We don't know if he's going to play or not this week.
We don't. You're right. So we'll see what happens to practice today. Absolutely.
Yeah. Is Unger going to play this week? We don't know. It makes a big difference.
No question about it. But do any of those things sway you?
They could later in the week if I see Thomas is going to play. You know, right now it's Wednesday, so I really don't know.
Yep.
You know, right as of this minute, I'm leaning Flacco. I'm not saying I can't be talked out of it either.
Would you guys consider, I mean, I'm hearing on all different shows, all play Simeon because he can throw for 300-plus. He just threw it, you know, 50-something times against Tennessee. You know, it's almost
I can't start a young quarterback like that going against a Bill Belichick, Dean Pease coach team that's going to throw all kinds of things at him that he may have never seen before. I can't do it.
I agree. And by the way, this is PA Cop off of Twitter, guys.
Yo, what up?
Oh,
what's up, Corey? What's going on, fellas?
Ain't nothing much. Trying to make it.
Oh. All right, guys. Well, I appreciate that. And again, I'm going up against Aaron Rodgers and the Jordy Nelson combo. So I'm just one last question, if I can.
Joe, before we ask the question, you're going up against Aaron Rodgers here and Jordy Nelson, and you're going to sit Drew Brees for Trevor Siemian? Just tell me how that sounds.
Absolutely not.
There you go. There you go. All right, I would
recommend that either.
I'm with you. I just like, because he asked the question, he's hearing on other places that Siemian can throw for 300 yards. Drew Brees is a tough matchup against a defense that's been very, very good against quarterback all year. You can't do it. What's your other question here, Joe?
Just real quick. In my league, Ty Montgomery, obviously I can use him as a wide receiver. And, I mean, Moncrief most likely is going to be out. Really, all I have is Sammy Watkins, Montgomery, and that's pretty much it. I dropped Cobb. I'm just wondering, would you guys say to throw in Montgomery or go out and maybe pick up like Garcon or somebody like that?
Well, I love Garcon.
Underrated.
Against Carolina, too.
See, here's the thing about names at this point in the year and what you were talking about at the top of the show, Greg, about how people just don't like, they want that upside guy. It's like, Garcon is not perceived to have any upside yet. He is so darn consistent that people consistently overlook him.
It's hard to argue with that. And he's going against Carolina on Monday night against
the
secondary. That's been so ineffective. So absolutely go ahead and put him in the lineup this week. I'll tell you, it's that game, Green Bay, the Ty Montgomery thing. When he talked about Montgomery or Sammy Watkins, that's an interesting play because Watkins has a great matchup. He got in the end zone last week. Are we now saying that Sammy Watkins is back?
I think Sammy Watkins looks good. I think he's even some of the. Let me not. You know what? I'm not. No.
Don't do this.
No.
Mm-mm.
No.
There you go.
I don't trust
Sammy
Watkins.
Let me ask you this, though, about his teammate.
He almost got me again.
How?
I was getting a little moist. He almost got right back in there.
You need to quit him. But I want to ask you guys about his teammate, though.
Joe's still here.
Okay.
Joe, what's up? Joe?
No, Joe. Tyrod Taylor, how much do we like him against Cleveland? Do we like him more than Flacco?
I know we said yesterday we liked him more than Mariota. Do we like him more than Flacco, Tony?
It's close to me because you look at it, and it with that offense in Cleveland, they're not going to score a ton. So that leaves that Tyrod Taylor handing the ball off. I think it's relatively close. I would lean towards Joe Flacco in that game. And I think that LeSean McCoy is in line for a huge game.
Yeah.
Mike Gillisley.
Yeah.
I would also lean towards Flacco, by the way, for the record there. Let's go to Joel from Buffalo. Joel, you're up next here on the Road to Wexford. What's going on?
What's going on, fellas? I got this scenario. I got two leads, and it's really not about touchdowns. It's about yardage. In one scenario, I have basically I have Drew Brees versus Flacco. I'm leaning towards Brees. Thank you, Joel. And plus, it's in the dome. That's kind of how I look at it, opposed to being on the Philly weather.
You say thank you like that, confirms that you're correct.
He doesn't confirm me, right? He just supports my point.
Like, thank you.
Well, I can't. Wait. I can't support people that support my point.
No, you make it sound like okay. Thank you. I've won this.
Well, I thank Joel for supporting my point. Sorry that I support my. That I like the listeners. I don't kill
all
the
of a
listeners.
Sudden.
I've always liked the listeners, Scotty. Yeah, please, okay. Joel,
don't tweet at me.
You're a man of the people, Greg Sussman.
Thank you, Tony. I appreciate that as well, my friend.
I'll remind you that next time you say don't tweet at me.
Okay, that's fine. Joel, what's up?
So the yardage is everything for me. Now, in my other league, I need to choose between Wilson versus Kaepernick, and that one.
There's no way I'm starting Colin Kaepernick. What we've seen the last few weeks. I cannot bring myself to use him in a fantasy playoff game.
Wait a minute. Uh-oh. I can't start Colin Kaepernick from what we've seen the last 2 weeks.
Here we go.
Didn't the other guy throw 5 interceptions last week? Like, you are so biased, you don't even get it.
Oh, boy.
All right, you're so wrong on that point, you don't even get it. Because, Russell Wilson had the worst game of his career. If you want to break it down... 3 of those are not on him, but still, he had a very bad game. That is not what Russell Wilson is. What you customarily going to see
just,
from him?
No, but you said the last 2 weeks.
Drew Brees is not what you customarily see from him.
Yeah, last 2 weeks, you were all over the place.
Russell Wilson is at home against the Rams. Drew Brees is on the road against Arizona
in a dome.
It's also a Thursday game.
I don't take that into account. Colin Kaepernick's got no playmakers at wide receiver.
That's a legitimate
or
argument.
Or a tight end. Oh, no, yeah, no Vance weeks. McDonald.
I'm not starting Colin Kaepernick.
Those are good arguments, Scott.
When you're talking about people laughing at me, I'm talking about Flacco or Brees versus Wilson versus Kaepernick. There's a big difference there to me.
No, it was your comment was that over the last 2 weeks, Kaepernick has been horrible. You said that, right? Not me.
I did say that. But breaking it down further.
I just wanted to point it out that the guy threw 5 interceptions last week.
He did. But I would still go with Wilson over Kaepernick. It's not even
question about it.
He's had much better playmakers and wide receiver. He's certainly capable of turning it around.
And he's playing the Rams.
And Kaepernick is a guy that just like, weeks ago, Kaepernick was like, okay, we get this rushing floor. Maybe if he passes for a little. There's no passing game there with Kaepernick. Not at all.
I think we all agree with that point, right? We're all starting Russell Wilson.
He's not even top 20.
Let me ask you this. Russell Wilson or Drew Brees?
You don't have him in the top 20 versus the Falcons?
What's that? I barely have the top 20.
That's a mistake.
But never
you said that same thing last week. People are liking against
hold
the Jets.
On,
what did
on.
He do?
There's only four teams left.
He had a 4 week run. You gotta look at this, right? From week 9 to week 13, Colin Kaepernick, and this is a terrible defense, 26, 21, 36. I can make the argument Russell Wilson hasn't done that the entire season.
That does the what the entire season? Oh, like a 4-game run like that? He had a good 3-game run, but he didn't have a good 4-game run. Like prior to the.
I would see. This is the same thing. I would never play Kaepernick over Russell Wilson in a playoff game. But I really think there's a good chance that Colin Kaepernick has more fantasy points than Russell Wilson.
Do you like Russell Wilson or Drew Brees?
The thing is, I'm looking at it recently. It's like, and maybe here's the thing. It's like Kaepernick is like just all of a sudden falling apart.
Yeah.
And
there's no receivers.
All of a sudden, he did have that good 4-game stretch, Tony. you know?
Yeah.
It's, but all of a sudden, he's falling apart. With Breeze, I feel like he started to fall apart in a big way recently, the last 2 weeks. And it scares the shit out of me. If I'm a Drew Brees owner. And I get a lot of people saying that to me.
Russell Wilson.
Don't be scared.
Or Drew Brees.
I'm going to go Russell Wilson.
But your argument is that over the last 2 weeks, yada, 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 obviously Russell Wilson had a horrible game last
week. I feel like
Russell
Wilson is in a better spot to rebound than Drew Brees.
And that's fair. And the argument really doesn't, is not worth it because nobody, most
people. And like
most
with Flacco, I feel like he has a better floor.
Most likely you don't own Russell Wilson and Drew Brees. So that's why I'm not going to go into it because it doesn't matter. But it's interesting you said that. All right, let's take a break here. We come back. We'll get to Dr. A from Inside Injuries. He will. We'll talk a little Julio Jones with him. AJ Green, perhaps, potentially returning to practice today. We'll talk about him as well. Dr. A, Injury Insiders, is next here on the Roto Experts. This week, it is Wednesday, headed in week 15. I have way too many injuries we have to talk about here. And for that, we bring in the inside injuries expert, Dr. A, who joins us every single Wednesday morning at 8:40. Talk a little injury and give us some advice with it. What's going on, Dr. A?
I'm good. How are you guys doing this morning?
Doing pretty well. Doing pretty well. Things are good. I mean, I'm not really doing great. I'm not in the playoffs anymore, but other people are. So that's good. We're here to help them. Okay.
All right, Doc.
All right.
Doc, let me jump right into it, though. Scott was talking about it earlier this morning with the chat last night. Yep. The Kenneth Farrell question was out there. I got situations this week with the backup running back in San Diego, Kenneth Farrell. What is the latest news that you're getting? What's the latest prognostication on Charger running back Melvin Gordon?
Okay, so Melvin Gordon, so our algorithms, first of all, are saying that he has a grade 2 hip sprain, and he also has a grade 2 knee sprain. And so that typically means there's no tear, but he does have inflammation of something, either a ligament or a tendon inflammation. It looked a lot worse, when obviously he had to be carted off the field. However, his HPF currently is below average at 63%, and his injury risk is elevated. It's not high, but it is elevated with the below average HPF currently right now. Currently is a risky start, because it's a grade 2, it usually means about 2 to 3 weeks of optimal recovery time. And because he has two injuries, he doesn't have one, he has two, that he's not really day to day. Our prediction is that he's probably week to week. And so, I don't look for him to actually make any significant start this week.
Doc, what about Julio Jones? Dan Quinn saying that he won't practice today and they probably won't make a decision until later in the week.
Well, the algorithms do have a method to their madness, right? Last week, we were very down on Julio Jones, and obviously, grade 3 turf toe is just nothing to be dealt with, and he didn't start. The good news is that they're playing the 49ers, and I don't think that they'll probably need Julio to potentially win this game, and he's still at a high injury risk and poor HPF. Likely, that turf toe they couldn't get over the hump, essentially, in terms of pain management on that turf toe when he went full speed on it, or he was potentially doing some cutbacks or tight turns. So, it's going to be a very difficult thing to treat. The only thing that helps is rest, and so that's what they're doing now. The likelihood that he plays on Sunday, right now, according to what we're seeing, is very, very, very low. We'll see how he practices today. If he's limited in practice Wednesday, or he meaning he doesn't practice today, then I would be highly doubtful that he would play on Sunday.
Dr. A, what about Matt Stafford? The middle finger, how much is that going to be a problem with throwing the football? I went out yesterday, I grabbed a football, and I was paying attention to how much I used my middle finger, and I didn't think it was much, but what's your thoughts on how this will affect Stafford?
So, the grip of, and I've said this before, because we talked about this with Derek Carr, the fifth digit is the least important. It's important, but it's the least important. But as you make your way toward the thumb, you know, every digit becomes more and more important. And the third digit is obviously very important from not just a grip standpoint, but just think about when you release the football, how it sort of puts quite a bit of force on every piece, every finger of yours, obviously the least being the fifth, but definitely the third. It is the longest finger, and it will affect him. Our algorithms are saying that it will significantly affect him. And you know, especially, it doesn't look like he has any underlying fracture or any significant complicating feature to the injury. So, but because it's the third digit, his IRC currently is high and his HPF is below average. So he's a risky start. We'll see how he throws today and on Thursday, and we'll get some information to see if these numbers change. But we're very, very sensitive to the fact that it's the third digit and not the fifth.
We're talking to Dr. A here, Inside Injuries. You can read his stuff over at Roto Experts as well. And Dr. A, I look at AJ Green, who's been out for quite a while here. And he has said he wants to play this season. He wants that peace of mind. And when a lot of us fantasy owners actually thought that, that he was done. And the rumor is he's going to practice today. If that is the case, do we, in our semifinals, play the returning AJ Green in his first game back?
So he is still 3 to 4 weeks to his ORT, his optimal recovery time, for a grade 3 hamstring strain. I know the MRI said grade 2, but our algorithms are not I think it's leaning closer to grade 3. He probably had a partial tear, and he's still 3 to 4 weeks away. They're practicing him because he's probably going to be limited or, you know, very, very reserved in practice. If he does play in the game, this is one of those typical situations where we are, this would be a decoy alert sort of identifier. We don't, our algorithms do not believe that he's ready yet. And so he's still at a risky start. His HPF currently is poor. Once he gets closer to that 7 to 8 week optimal recovery time, you'll start to see these numbers improve. Obviously, you know, it depends upon the Bengals playoff situation, but right now, he's too far away from ORT to be any sort of significant start.
What about Matt Forte, Doc? The Jets are saying that he's day-to-day.
So Matt Forte's injury severity currently on our board is a grade 2 knee injury, so he didn't have any underlying tear. Again, tendonitis or some sort of ligament inflammation. You know, they didn't release the MRI results on Monday, which is interesting. Usually they do. And so I'm wondering if it's something else other than a grade 2 knee injury. The likelihood that he plays on Sunday is very low. He's below average currently right now, HPF. He's a risky start.
Doc, I don't know if you get any insight to this. Spencer Ware hasn't been the same player since leaving for a game with the concussion symptoms, comes back. What is the protocol like, and how much can concussion systems linger and the players still play in each and every game?
So, you know, concussion is not is unlike any other type of injury. You can't, you know, there's nothing you can do to recover from a concussion. You can't help it. You can't increase it. It's literally just doing nothing, you know, and you have to wait till the questions that they propose to you get answered properly. The symptomatology goes away. It's just our brain needs time to recover. It's kind of scary to say that, but that is sort of the way concussions work. But I'll tell you guys, it's not that's the medical explanation. With concussions, especially for running backs and quarterbacks, there's a huge psychological component to it. Because when you get a concussion, you experience those symptoms. You don't want to have those symptoms again, but yet every weekend you're put into that situation that you could get it again. And there's a big psychological component. You don't play it. You're not as aggressive. You're kind of more protective when you play. And when you do that in the NFL, you already are 20-30% behind everybody else. And I think that's what's going on with Spencer Ware. A lot of times concussions can really psychologically impact the performance. It's the psychological factor as opposed to anything else.
Doc, fantasy owners want to know if they should get a full compliment, the job to itself this week for New York Jet running back Bilal Powell. If that's the case, the algorithm has to say that Matt Forte is sitting. What is it telling you right now?
You're asking about the backup running back?
Oh, I'm sorry.
The Jets?
No, I'm talking about, I meant Darren Sproles. Sorry.
Oh, okay, there you go.
His yeah, concussion.
So you got a concussion, Corey?
I'm concussed too, Doc. Yeah.
His health his HPF is high, though.
Yeah, so Darren Sproles has a grade one concussion, you know, he is, if you recall with Darren Sproles, he's one of our guys that's got a lot of data in his player nucleus. He has a multiple injury history over multiple years. And, you know, with this concussion, I think he actually has a history of another concussion in the past. And because of that, because of his multiple injuries, he's at a high injury risk and poor HPF. It will be really, really hard probably for him to clear protocol enough in time to play Sunday. And that's a big problem because obviously Ryan Matthews just returned from that MCL sprain, and Wendell Smallwood is also, you know, suffering from an MCL sprain. So Darren Sproles, risky start. HPF is poor. History of concussions and multiple injuries. Likely won't play anyway.
Final question here from me, Doc. And that's actually, it's not really injury related. It's just kind of time off related. Alshon Jeffrey's going to return from suspension here this weekend. He is not injured finally for the first time ever, but he's been out for 4 weeks. Do we expect him to come back from suspension and just be the same Alshon Jeffrey that, you know, we come to expect?
Well, Alshon Jeffrey, you know, the good thing about suspensions, the only real good thing about suspensions are the fact that you get to rest because you don't really do anything. You know, he had that week six hamstring injury. It's a grade two. It wasn't a grade three. And so it didn't really have a partial tear. The only thing is currently on our board, he's at an elevated injury risk and below average. Main reason why is because he's not only did he have a hamstring injury this year, but he had a knee injury and multiple knee injuries this year and a previous hamstring injury. He's sort of re-aggravated this. And I've always said, and the algorithms always said, hamstring injuries with wide receivers are really, really impactful. So currently he's a risky start, even if he comes back, even with the 4 weeks rest. I don't know, because he's probably not even NFL ready. He has to continue to sort of get his reps in, and then probably in about 2 to 3 weeks, he'll be better.
All right, there you have it. Dr. Ray, Inside Injuries. Follow him on Twitter, and of course, read all the great stuff that Inside Injuries have each and every week, and all week long. Dr. Ray, you'll be on Old School Fantasy with Scott Angle and all the guys over there on Friday, and we will talk to you for Championship Week next Wednesday. Thanks, Dr. Ray.
Thanks, guys.
We take a break here, being at the top of the hour. Coming up next on the Roto Experts. Roto Experts here. I want to ask. Two high-profile wide receivers may not play this week, but they may come back from an injury in Julio Jones and A.J. Green. Potentially, of course, we'll see if either practices today.
Julio not practicing.
Sounds like there's a much better chance of A.J. Green practicing than Julio Jones. Corey Parson, if they both play this weekend, and I have my doubts that either will, if they both play this weekend, who do you feel more comfortable playing?
Oh, boy. Probably A.J. Green. He's had more time off, more time to rest.
That more significant injury, probably.
Yeah, that's true, too. But I don't feel comfortable with either player. Julio has a hell of a matchup, but Julio, they can blow them. They can get on top of San Francisco, and Julio. I don't think Julio's going to play this week.
I agree. I don't know if AJ Green's going to play either.
I don't think either one of them plays.
I agree. Mm-hmm. But when,
if I had to choose one, I would choose. If you had to choose one,
okay, Scotty.
Yeah, I agree with Corey. The same thing. Yeah.
Tone.
This question will be answered, I think, by Friday because he's going to practice today, A.J. Green.
Right.
If he practices tomorrow and makes it through both those, I would be okay with him.
Okay.
The other guy, though, I don't want any part of because if A.J. Green does dress, which I don't think he will,
right. There's
a good chance that he'll just be out there a couple plays and not finish the game.
What a disaster here for those Julio Jones owners, huh?
Yeah.
Yeah. I can speak to it personally. I didn't have him on two teams
Okay. Where
I made the playoffs. I got eliminated in both.
Yeah. Was it close or no?
One of them was not. But, you know, you never know. A big Julio Jones game could have made a difference. Sure. It could have made a difference to either one.
I just got an email from my rankings guru, my projections guru.
Right.
You know he has his number one wide receiver this week?
Odell Beckham.
No, he's number one. Odell Beckham's number two.
Oh, that's a good guess then.
Sammy Watkins.
Are you kidding me?
I'm dead serious.
Oh, God. Wow. Oh, my goodness.
Where you have Watkins at this week, Scott?
Haven't gotten to the wide receiver. Okay, haven't gotten to the wide receiver. Where does he have Breeze?
He had Breeze at 20.
20?
Wow.
Where does he have Flacco?
10.
Wow.
Wow. This is your expert. This is the guy.
This is my secret sauce.
Your secret sauce.
Yeah, he's not an analyst type.
He's a numbers guy.
Yeah, he's a numbers guy.
Oh, boy.
All right. So, Ronis doesn't like Breeze either.
No, stop it. It's not Adam Ronis.
Well played.
Adam Ronis is a chump.
Well played, Corey.
Well, you just call him not an analyst.
Good one.
And you can finish it off by what, calling him a washed up newspaper man?
Yeah. It's sad about the newspapers, though.
Yeah, that is. You know what I'm saying? The newspaper industry is upside down. Magazines, too.
It's funny. So your secret sauce guy has Drew Brees at 20, Joe Flacco at 10 this week.
Yep.
Florio put up a poll a little while ago. Would you sit Drew Brees for Joe Flacco this week? 72% of the poll has said no.
Yep.
28% said yes. Probably a little bit higher than I thought would say yes, though.
I thought it was going to be closer.
Okay.
I thought it was going to be closer because I know how the owners overreact, and especially when you're getting these late. You know how many people you have playing this week that have never won a championship, that have never been this far, that have been this far and always lose in week 15?
Putting extra pressure on themselves.
So they're putting extra pressure on themselves.
Yeah. Absolutely. Absolutely.
Plus, Scott's pretty influential.
Tony's going to dig me because he disagrees with
me. No, Scott, no, I'm just saying you have a large following and your people have spoken.
Tribe has spoken.
Not everybody's always going to agree with me.
No.
I think that most people do.
Is it because he's a king and he forces you to?
No.
That's it, I think.
You guys very often disagree with me. Tony does.
And yes.
Sussman thinks everything I say is crazy.
Not everything.
Yeah.
Not everything.
What was the last logical comment that Scott made?
Tony's not very nice.
No, I was talking to Sussman.
Oh, I thought you were talking to me.
I'll have to think about one. Good thing we're going to break so I can think about it. I don't really know.
I got
to
tell y'all what Jake did.
Oh, yeah. Why don't you tell us that on the other side? Is that cool?
No doubt.
I also want to talk about this Wake Forest story, which is kind of crazy. We'll do that next in the 9 o'clock hour here on the Roto Experts. Oh, hello there. If you're enjoying the Roto Experts in the Morning on Demand, well, there's a whole nother hour that you could listen to live every single weekday morning from Monday to Friday. If you want more laughs from Corey Parson, listen to the Roto Experts from 7 to 10 a.m. Eastern every single weekday morning. It's the Roto Experts in the Morning on the Fantasy Sports Radio Network.